What is up, guys and girls? Welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. This is your host, Naomi, and I'm here to cover all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and mindset. The aim of this podcast is to inspire you to become the best version of yourself. It is also a place where I talk openly about things that most people just don't want to discuss, like mental health and motivation, just to name a couple. Plus, I'll be here to give you some little tips and tricks on how you can become a more evolved you. So let's get started. In today's episode, I have Shelley Rose on, who is an NLP life coach, a full-time mum, an absolute beautiful human who has been struggling with an autoimmune disease ever since she was 21 years old. This episode is amazing because it is so inspiring and she is the biggest hype girl in life. I cannot wait to get into it and for you guys to hear all about the women's mind. Let's get straight into it. Alrighty guys, what is up and welcome back to another episode of the Let's Be Real podcast. I am so excited because I have a special little guest today and I cannot wait for you guys to learn all about her life, but let's do a little intro. So welcome, Shelley. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me and welcome.
I'm so excited. So to start off the podcast, I always do a fun little question and it is, what is one quirky thing you love about yourself?
I did have to think about this actually. Could I say like I like my hands?
Yeah. That's so fun.
because that's quirky, but like I feel like I've got nice hands.
So random. Part-time hand model. We'll claim that.
How Jack good. Jack thinks otherwise, but anyway.
Oh my God, that's so funny. All right, so tell us about you. For those that don't know you, what do you do for work? Where are you based? Hobbies, passions, etc.
Yes, so I am currently based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire, so Cronulla. I've lived in Sydney for the past 10 years or around about 10 years. For my work, I actually have just resigned from my corporate role. I was in real estate also for probably the last 10 years and I have just resigned to pursue my passion in coaching. So that's very exciting. I would say my hobbies, is definitely the ocean, anything to do with the ocean, the gym and just kind of like outdoors. I love being outdoors.
Yeah.
So anything outdoors.
That was a great little summary. I was going to ask you a quick little life update, but I know you have just resigned from your job. So congratulations. That is huge and very inspiring for people wanting to chase their dreams because I know that you share quite openly, like it is quite daunting leaving like a six-figure income to go out by yourself. So definitely. Huge congratulations and hat off to you. But is there anything else life update wise that you wanted to share for us?
I'm going to Hamilton tomorrow. So if you don't know Hamilton Island, it is a little island off Queensland, is it?
Yeah.
So it's like a tropical island and with COVID, obviously holidays have been limited. So I'm taking my husband and my one-year-old to Hamilton Island for a holiday and yeah.
Is that your first holiday as a family, like with having Beau?
Yeah, like first like flying holiday.
Yeah. Are you nervous or excited?
I'm pretty excited. I didn't mention that I'm a mum in that either.
No.
I'm a mum and I also have a husband.
We have mentioned, but yes, sort of mentioned. Awesome. So again, for those that don't know you, you do have a bit of a background in the health and fitness industry, but from a different aspect, I guess. So let's chat about that first and your background as a health perspective. And then I would love to know more about like life coaching because we've been working together and it's so interesting. I could chat forever, but tell me your background and where your health and fitness journey started.
Yeah. So where my health and fitness journey initially had started was, kind of around, I think I was around about 21. And I was just starting to get into health and fitness and, I actually started doing Ashley Bynes boot camps. That's how I got into fitness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that was when I was 21. And then probably like 4 to 5 months after that, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which is Crohn's. I was initially diagnosed with endometriosis and then I just like got sicker and sicker and sicker. And typically when you have an autoimmune disease, like they say you can have up to like three. So initially it was endometriosis, then it went, and then I got diagnosed with Crohn's as well. And that I would say probably really accelerated my health and fitness journey, more so because when your health is compromised, like you really, really, I guess, value how important your health is.
So
it kind of was started there, and also for my mental health. I know we've spoken about this quite a bit, but I didn't have, you know, a very, I wouldn't say not privileged upbringing, but it was quite dysfunctional. And I feel like health and fitness really, really was like the thing that saved me on so many occasions, just from like an endorphin standpoint and, you know, training to feel good rather than just look good. So that's kind of where my journey started. And then it's just become like, you know, it's just a part of my life now. It's a huge, you know, that's like, I am just a huge health and fitness enthusiast because of the way that it makes me feel.
Yeah. I love watching your workouts or like your training on Insta stories. I'm like, you are so fit. You do a little, it's like a little bit of CrossFit hybrid sort of stuff, isn't it? In a way.
Yeah. I did, like, I've kind of gone from a few things. Like I was into boxing for ages. And I did my first boxing session like since 2 years the other week, and it was so much fun. I've kind of just like, I transitioned to what feels good for me at the time. Like I've kind of gone into strength training and stuff, but I actually love the CrossFit stuff.
Yeah, I love it. So cool. Anyway, let's chat about Crohn's. Like, what is it? Where did it come from? How do people get it? What's it like? All of like, tell me everything, because I actually don't think we have chatted about this personally. So
yeah,
let's chat.
Okay, well, how long do you have? No. So Crohn's is an autoimmune disease, and it is incurable. So it is something that obviously I do have to live with for the rest of my life. With that being said, I am in remission right now. So that's like huge, because it's taken a long time for me to get here. But where it comes, like, they don't have any evidence to state that it comes from anything in particular. It's kind of just at some point in time, there's like a defect in genetics which caused the immune system to become overactive, and then it starts attacking itself. So in my case, my immune system started attacking my intestines, which then caused Crohn's disease. So I was diagnosed with that when I was 21. Now, it is a chronic illness, and it is not necessarily a fun thing to live with. A lot of people just assume that it's like you go to the toilet a lot, and it's like, no, there's actually a lot more to it. Right. So what happens is it obviously just attacks any part of the digestive tract. So it can attack, you know, pretty much from like mouth to bum, and it ulcerates the intestines, which then creates a multitude of other issues. For me, how I got to the diagnosis of Crohn's was because typically when you're in a active state, it can kind of go into an extremity. So I got intrahepatic arthritis in my right ankle, which therefore meant that, which like, because it was only in the one ankle, they were like, okay, maybe there's an issue with your stomach, which was, and they thought it was either Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Now it took probably about 9 months in total to get diagnosed with Crohn's. It has been quite a journey, in the sense that the drugs that they put you on are very, they're very harsh kind of drugs. Like the first drug they put me on was a drug called methotrexate, which meant that, you know, I had to have weekly blood tests to monitor the function of my liver. It's like a really, really nasty drug, and especially for a young female who, you know, wanted to have kids. At that stage, I didn't want to have kids, but methotrexate annihilates your fertility. So Bo, my son, was literally a miracle baby. And yeah, so I was on that for a bit, and I just hated how it made me feel. So I dug my head in the sand for a bit, which was probably not the best thing to do. And then I found a good specialist about 2-3 years ago when I was really, really sick. and he put me on what's called a biologic. So every 8 weeks I just go and get infused with this biologic called Vedislumab, I think it's called. And look, to be honest, it's put me completely into remission. So I'm currently living like Crohn's free from a symptomatic standpoint.
That's amazing. How exciting. And yeah. you must just feel so amazing.
Yeah, it's honestly like the best feeling. And I had an appointment with my specialist just this week actually, and he was just like, how, like watching how my body has reacted. And I do put it a lot to like actually looking after myself and really focusing on health and all the rest of it, and like not health from like, you know, only eating broccoli and chicken, like looking at all aspects of health, mindset, you know, sleep, like rest and digest, all of that stuff.
How did it affect your life when you were at your worst, we'll say?
I used to call my dad every single morning and I would cry and tell him I didn't know how I was going to get through the day. it attacks the digestive tract, but it also like it creates a multitude of other things. So one of the things that it does create is like chronic fatigue. And as you know, I'm like huge, like love being outdoors, love being outside. Like, you know, I'm very much a go, go, go kind of person. And I do struggle to rest. When you have like an illness like Crohn's that kind of forces you to slow down, that can be quite debilitating because you can't do the things that make you feel good. Like, you know, I was still going to the gym when my ankle was literally blown up, like it looked like it had gout. And the pain is excruciating. So like it's hard because I kind of look back at that time and it almost seems like a massive blur because it was so hectic.
Yeah, like surreal.
It's like when you're in there, like it's just like I remember literally like this sounds so dramatic, but I remember I used to hate going to sleep at night because I knew I had to wake up and deal with it again, which is like sounds so dramatic, but that it was just like my body was just so exhausted from fighting every single day just to feel somewhat human, even though I felt anything but.
Yeah, that is honestly like insane. I didn't really have much of an idea on it, to be honest. Is there anything that you would say to someone that has suffered or is suffering from Crohn's?
I would say anybody who's suffering from any type of autoimmune illness, I completely understand and resonate in the sense that, you know, there's different levels, but the one thing that Crohn's really has done for me is it has taught me so much about life and about myself and about everything else. And I think when you're diagnosed with something that is so like, you know, is quite challenging, it's just such a good reminder as to kind of what's really important in life. And it really had made me take a step back and reassess like everything that I valued and reassess, you know, everything that was important and what like not important. And it's like there's such a big part of me now that's like, you know, is it worth focusing on this? Like there's such bigger problems in the world. And yeah, I feel like when your health is compromised to that degree, it's like everything else can seem quite trivial. So for anyone who would be dealing with any type of like illness or anything like that, like one, I know that it's hard, and if I was there I would obviously give them a big hug because every single day you're literally fighting, like, you know, and that is a struggle and it's tiring. But just be open to the experiences and the lessons that come from it, because I think that, you know, I will say wholeheartedly that Crohn's was one of the best things that happened to me because it really made me realize what was important, what wasn't, and it also made me put myself first. And it's like I spent my whole life fighting for everybody else that I now had to fight for me. And I think that I would never replace that. Like
yeah, that's crazy. I love that. And I think that's a great little segue into our next form of the podcast, because obviously I know your passion in life, but I wanted to chat about life coaching and mindset coaching and all of these sort of aspects, because I know that you are sort of in the health and fitness world in the coaching aspect as well, in a different little way. But what is your sole purpose in life? Like your why, your mission? I know you just said that like this autoimmune disease made you find that even more. So would you like to share?
Yes. So if I was to say put my like my mission or my purpose or my why into like four words, I would say to live, to love, to grow, and to inspire. Like that is my main purpose in life. And you know, like everyone says, oh, I just want to help people. I want, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And like, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, yeah, I just want to help everyone. But where my passion truly lies is helping others see what's within them to really excel in life and to face, you know, give them the tools and strategies to look at adversity and look at struggle and think, this is, you know, this is happening for me. It's not happening to me. And I think, you know, I've said it to you numerous times, like I genuinely feel that the harder the climb, the better the view. Like,
yeah,
you'd never appreciate the good if you don't go through the bad. But there's so many people that kind of live in this victim mentality where they need to switch that and come from a more victor mentality, like a more growth mindset, and use that as stepping stones as opposed to setbacks.
What a perfect little summary. I love that. So what is an NLP life, or sorry, health coach, life coach?
Yeah. So NLP stands for neuro-linguistical programming. So what that is obviously, as you know, as we grow old, our like, you know, from babies through until about 35, we have, you know, we create these certain beliefs and we have like our map of the world. And NLP practitioners, they essentially kind of go into the programming of your brain and give you the strategies and the tools to rewire that to something that serves you to, you know, serves you better.
I love the human brain so much. And I like, obviously, well, my clients will know that I do it a lot in my business as well, just to from a different aspect, I guess. And there's a few questions I want to dive into, but before we go into that, actually, no, let's chat about that. What is rewriting your stories? Like, explain that for me, because I love that.
Yeah. So for me, I feel like, so rewriting your story for me personally is kind of about owning it, like, you know, and I don't say this in an insensitive way, but I truly believe that the story, you know, the past is just a story you tell yourself, and you can have two completely different people that go through the exact same experience that have two different interpretations of that. Now, rewriting your story is creating a interpretation that serves you in order to propel further in whatever it is that you want to do. So a big thing for me, like, you know, Crohn's, for instance, like I could look at Crohn's as like, oh my God, I've got this disease for the rest of my life. I have to get an infusion every 8 weeks. You know, poor me, poor me, poor me. Or I can rewrite my story and say, hey, this happened to me so that I can, you know, inspire others. This happened to me so that I became a more resilient person. This happened to me because X, Y, Z. And it's kind of about owning, like I say in my ebook, like I say, own your shit, you know, like own it in the way that makes it feel good for you. So rewriting your story is about owning the stuff that you don't really, that doesn't sit well with you, or the stuff that feels uncomfortable, and writing it in a way that can propel you further to achieve whatever it is that you want to. Like, stop letting it hold you back.
Almost like your beliefs in a way, I guess, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. Like going into your values, going into your belief systems, and really digging deep into those core beliefs that are holding you back. And I know that you and I have spoken about this quite a few times, because consciously we're not aware of the things that actually happen. But, you know, they say your brain has like 85,000 thoughts a day, and, you know, 95% of those are typically negative. Now, they also say that your subconscious brain takes in like 800 million bits per second, whereas your conscious only takes in 134. So you have to identify what your subconscious is filtering out to your conscience and stripping everything back, because a lot of the decisions that we make are based on emotions. Like, you know, they're emotional decisions, and those emotional decisions are based on past experiences, which create our values, our beliefs, our thought patterns, all the rest of it. So it's about really understanding what's happening behind the scenes to then starting to work, you know, on the stuff that you can consciously implement.
So what does an example of someone like rewriting their stories look like? And I mean, like, the most common ones that you would see, so someone can sort of resonate with this and understand it a bit more on a personable level.
So let's say the story in which you're telling yourself subconsciously is, you know, I'm not good enough. I, you know, like, when they don't leave, is it like, it's a reflection on me. It's like, you know, I'm not doing something, or I'm not good enough. That's why they're leaving. And so I guess a way of rewriting that is understanding where that thought has come from. So understanding where that thought and belief has come from of, you know, where am I? I'm not good enough, or, you know, I won't succeed at this, or whatever that kind of belief is, or that story is that you're telling yourself, and then writing it in a way that, you know, sits well with you, and write it in a way that almost inspires you and motivates you. So rather than looking at a situation of, you know, this happened, which therefore meant that I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy, you can rewrite it in a way that's like, this happened to make me value XYZ, so that I understand my self-worth, or I understand what truly
loyalty, like loyalty means. Like, I know we've spoke about like cheating in the past, or money, like negative money relationship habits and stuff, you know, like,
definitely. Yes.
I'm not deserving of money because my family has always been broke or cheap or tight or whatever that is. So yeah, I think there are a couple common ones, but yeah, we have definitely gone down there and learning that, like, you can rephrase the thought in your head. It's hard.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely worth it. On that point, what do you find that people or your clients struggle with the most? And I guess, how do you suggest to overcome this? Now, this is super like generalized, but is there any like trends that you find?
Look, I think like this is probably going to sound quite vague, but I think when you actually dig really deep as to kind of what is holding someone back, and what holding someone, like what holding yourself back can look like, is things like procrastination, self-sabotage, all of those things. Like, it's like you don't walk around going, oh yeah, you know, this limiting belief of mine is holding me back. But if you say, like, if we look at it from a health and fitness standpoint, and you have clients that are like, oh yeah, I really want to lose weight, I want to do this, I want to do that, and then push comes to shove, bending, you know, every night they go to binge eating because something happens, and that's their way of dealing with it. It always comes back to that self-worthiness and having that belief in yourself, like you are good enough. And I guess, you know, there's so many strategies that you can implement in order to get people past that. First and foremost, you really have to like dig deep as to where that belief came from. And then it's really about setting up strategies and tools for clients to understand that this is just a belief. It is literally just a thought that you have perpetuated at some point in time, and the actions in which you're doing are validating that thought because your brain has had that thought so many times. So subconsciously, you're living in a world that I'm not good enough. So when you live in a world of I'm not good enough, your conscious actions are going to validate that subconscious belief because it's so used to doing that. Now, our brains are so, so beyond like spectacular in the way that they work. And I've said this to you before as well, but it's like you kind of have to look at your like the thoughts as like driveways or roads rather. And every time a thought happens, a neuron is fired, which travels the road from conscious to subconscious. Now, typically speaking, your brain is always going to take the easier route because obviously we all want to take the easier option. So if you're put in a space of, okay, I want to lose weight, but you have an internal belief of I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough, then when you have a time of, you know, you missed a workout or you've had a really stressful day at work, your brain's going to say, okay, what makes me feel good? Food. You haven't driven the road of no, I'm doing this because I'm worthy. You're driving the road of I'm not good enough. So your instant reaction is just to self-sabotage because subconscious is filtering out to conscience to take the easier route and validate that thought of I'm not good enough. So I don't know, I've kind of gone on a bit of a tangent here, but it's like creating tools and strategies around that narrative and then implementing ways around that. So affirmations is a really good one. Like daily affirmations, daily journaling is really good. Gratitude journaling.
I love I am affirmations like so much. They're probably my favorite one to go to with clients. Like I just find them not the easiest, but again, they're things that people actually do. You know, you're telling someone to whip out a journal and write like how they're feeling. It's hard. If people have a tendency to self-sabotage or to fail or to give up and all that sort of stuff, they're not going to get a book out. Whereas like if you just say to them, sit there and just say, I am enough or like I am loved, you know, all of the things that we go through as well. And it was funny because I listened to a podcast yesterday and the way that – have you ever listened to Rob Dial? Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the way that he explained it was just insane because it's like – it's funny because like manifestation and all of this sort of stuff. Yeah, cool. You can say like, I am flowing money and like the universe is flowing to me and all this like shit. But if you don't actually believe it, you're not going to absorb 100%. It. So like even just saying like, I am doing everything I can to achieve wealth or like I am doing or I am progressing in life. Like, yeah, cool. You're progressing. You might not doing it as what you want, but you're still positively affirming those things. Do you know what I mean?
100%. And it's about like people go, oh yeah, but like I think manifestation and all of those things, they've kind of like they've become a new trend. And don't get me wrong, I love the new trend. Like I'm 100% down for it. But so many people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to start doing this. But when they don't subconsciously know what's happening behind the scenes, it doesn't work because you need to break that down. And it's like you and I have spoken about this in depth. You have these different, like you have these moments in time that have been, you know, big moments for you and have had an impact on your life. But up until last week, you weren't actually consciously aware of how much they were holding you back.
And it's
about understanding and really breaking that down in order to then go, okay, this is what I'm doing. And you look at, you know, like all of those big guys, Rob Dial, Tony Robbins, Jay Shetty. All of that, Joe Dispenza. It's like, you know, you have to raise your vibration. And by saying I am this or I am that and feeling and understanding and visualizing and showing up for the person you want to become, it's raising the vibration so that you start acting in that way. Now, if you continue to stay in this cycle of, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not this, then you're constantly going to attract the things that make you feel that and the things that validate that thought process because that's the energy that you're vibrating on.
And if all of this, like just for listeners, if this seems too like woo-woo, like you can do it with the most basic stuff. Like I am happy. Like, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't sound cringe. It's just like, I am happy. If you're having a shit day or like, you know, I am safe. I am loved by like family or whatever that may be. So it can be super basic. But just, I think what I learned from the potty app yesterday was like, you need to actually believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. So like, again, like I said, the universe, like I am flowing money from the universe. Like your internal belief is going to be like, what the fuck? Like I'm not flowing money. Do you know? But like you have to say something that like you physically believe is possible, not that it might not be present, but it needs to be possible.
That's exactly right. And as well with that, like for any listeners as well, I think it's important for you to focus on, you know, when you are wanting to feel the things that you want to feel or you are wanting to attract the things that you want to attract, visualize it in the way that you already have achieved it, and like, you know, ask yourself, what does that look like? You know, like you could say, oh, I just want to be happy, or I just want to be healthy. Ask yourself, what does healthy look like for me? Because every single person has a different interpretation of healthy. You know, you could look at, let's say, me and be like, yeah, she's really healthy, but little do you know that my body's completely attacking itself and I'm, you know, living with an invisible illness that has literally like makes me go to the toilet 10 times a day. Obviously not anymore, but people would always be like, oh, but you look so healthy. And I'd want to punch him in the face, because I'd be like, you have no idea what I'm going through, because it's an invisible illness. So for any listener that's like, oh, you know, it's easy for you guys to say or whatever, break it down and be like, okay, what does happiness feel like to me? What does success feel like? What does health feel like? What, you know, what does it mean? And ask yourself those questions and write them down, because it brings that conscious awareness of what that actually looks like for you. Because happy, successful, healthy, you know, all the rest of it has, we all have different interpretations of that.
I think happiness and success are the biggest ones in life for people that can be the most like differentiating. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, like success to me would mean something completely different to you. And again, like what you said, just writing that down. Because some people might look at my life and be like, oh, she's so like, she must be so successful. And it's like, well, I'm nowhere near what my success vision looks like. I'm happy, but do you know? There was two other topics that I wanted to talk about. One is more on your coaching aspect, because when we dived into that at the start, it was really interesting. But while we're keeping on the topic of the mindset sort of stuff, let's chat breaking past mental blockages. Is there anything that you suggest for people that you haven't already just mentioned just before?
Breaking past mental blockages.
I guess we can put it in the concept as like limiting beliefs, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I think it would come down to understanding your why is a big one. Like if you're not clear on why you're wanting to do things, then you're never going to reach it. Or you're going to reach it a lot, like it's going to take a lot harder and a lot longer for you to get there. So I think understanding what your drivers are is a big one, because if you know what your end result is and why you want to achieve it and really getting clear on that why, then, you know, anything that comes up, you're going to be more inspired and motivated to break past it, because your why is so important.
No, you finish your sentence.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think it's really important. Like we all kind of, we have goals and aspirations and stuff like that, but sometimes those goals and aspirations can be influenced by society. They're not actual internal drivers for what we want to achieve. And therefore it gets messed up. And then we're like, oh, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we, you know, why am I not achieving that? Why am I not motivated? Why am I not this? And it's because you don't have a big enough drive or a big enough why behind it.
It's so funny because it's literally everything we're learning, like, and it's different, sort of different topic, but with the business course that I'm doing, and I like working with you and then doing this business course, I'm like, holy shit, like you just forget what your why is. But from like a branding point of view, if we're going to talk about, you know, success or business and whatever, breaking down and really seeing what your why is rather than your business's why is so important, I guess, for anything you do, whether it be like a launch or a product or an ebook or like inquiring for a job or like looking for a partner or like whatever that is, like your values and your morals and your beliefs and your why is so important, and it can be so easily forgotten or influenced, like what you just said.
100%. And it doesn't have to be extravagant. Like, you know, you said, what is your why? And I said to live, love, grow and inspire. Like, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't have to be this extravagant, you know, narrative. It can be as simple as that. And it's like, you know, everything I do in life, is this helping, like, you know, does this play into my values? Does this feed into what I want to achieve? Does this feed into my why? And if it doesn't, then it's not worth it. And I think as well, like if we go back to self-belief and self-worth, we're so stuck in a world of fearing what other people are going to say, when the reality is that we're the ones living our life and we're the ones who dictate you know, where our life goes, nobody else. And it's like you can stay stuck and you can stay playing safe because you don't want to be judged by other people, but you're the only one going to your grave. And I, that sounds brutal, but like I say that to a lot of my clients and I'm like, you know, you are the creator, you are the director, you are the narrator. And I just know for me personally, I don't want to get to, you know, 50 years time and be like, I wish I had done that. Or, I, you know, in 5 years time, we're not going to be focused on what frigging Joe down the road is saying or doing. Yeah. Like they're too focused in their own world. And when you look at it like that, it's like perception is reflection. So, you know, really owning who you are as a person and all the rest of it gives you the ability to own your story and write your story the way that you want. If people are going to judge you for that, then that's their problem. That's not yours.
Yeah, literally. How good. I love that. I love these chats. The brain is just such an interesting thing. So what we did when we started is the Wheel of Life. Now I've done this with Ben and I've done this with myself, obviously with you. And I actually have heard her on a podcast since we've done it. I think, I'm not sure if I've mentioned, but if people do not know what the Wheel of Life is, how can you explain it for people and how can they do a quick little sort of test on themselves to find what they are lacking?
Yeah. So it's hard to kind of like explain how to do a test, via podcast, but essentially what the Wheel of Life is, when we look at life as a whole, we have obviously like eight different segments, let's say, or eight different, sections that make up our Wheel of Life. Now we could be completely happy and 10 out of 10 in business and finance, or business and career and 10 out of 10 in finance, but we could be a one in personal development or a one in romance. Now, if you look at life as a wheel and you, you know, you look at each of the sections of our life, which I will explain. So it's made up of business and career, friendships and relationships, personal development, personal development, personal growth, romance. Now, romance is not just, you know, your partner. It's also your relationship with yourself. It's made up of physical environment.
And finance.
Yeah, finances. I don't know if I mentioned finances. And also fun and recreation.
Oh, yeah.
Families in relationships. So it's made up of eight different sections. And why we use the Wheel of Life is to diagnose where in your life you're most out of alignment. So if you're looking at it as a wheel and you're, you know, 10 out of 10 in one, six in the other and one in the other, if you then create a wheel based on your results when you score it out of 10 based on questions I ask you, you could probably guarantee that the wheel is going to be quite bumpy and it's going to be quite out of alignment. So in order for us to feel completely rounded and well-balanced within our life, then obviously we want to work on the area in which is lacking the most. And sometimes I have like clients come to me that are like, yeah, I really want to focus on this aspect of my life. This is what's happening, blah, 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 blah. But then actually when we do the Wheel of Life, it could be something like, you know, or some people might come to me and say, I want to work on my limiting beliefs. I don't know what's holding me back. I don't know what's this. I don't know what's that. And then when we do the Wheel of Life, we notice that finances is an issue or personal growth is an issue. So then what we do is we work on that aspect, which over time means that the domino effect is that all other areas become more aligned. So it's like a diagnosis of kind of what is most out of alignment for you at this time. And as a coach, you know, as a life coach and an NLP practitioner and all of that, our sole focus is to bring you back into alignment with what you value. And it's not, you know, and what you want in life. It's to help you achieve the things that you want to achieve. And in order to do that, we need to kind of work on the things that are lacking the most.
Yeah, I think it's so true that you said, like, when people come to you, they think they want to work on something, but they don't realize what's actually like imbalanced, I guess. And I think that's sort of what I meant by like, how can people do like a mini little test on themselves? Like, again, there's eight little boxes. And if you're rating one out of 10 in one of them, clearly there's something going on. Do you know, like maybe it's best to reach out. I'm a huge believer in investing into yourself. So
I definitely love
delving into that. And it definitely wasn't what I was expecting when I originally reached out. Okay, cool. So to sort of wrap that up, I do have a question in my little quick fire round that I feel like will be a perfect summary, but we are going to do a quick fire round to end the podcast. Basically, I just ask you 5 questions and you have to answer them as quickly as possible. Are you ready?
I think so.
Some of them might be a bit challenging, so apologize. Okay. Sometimes I go savage, sometimes I just play it fun. So if you had to give up, sorry, you have to give up one of these 2 things, coffee or Instagram?
Instagram.
Celebrity crush?
I would say probably Beyonce or Chris Hemsworth. Like Chris Hemsworth in looks, but Beyonce in like person. Sass and person, yeah. And like queen bee.
I think Ben would leave me for Hemsworth, like Chris. He's obsessed. He's got so many posters, but no, not posters, like the Thor Marvel like frames.
Yeah, yeah. Not like the Dolly posters.
No, that's what I thought of straight away. Best day in your life so far? You can only choose one.
Having Beau without a shadow of doubt.
Okay, so you can only have one for the rest of your life, sunrises or sex?
Oh, I'm going to go sunrise.
That's so funny.
Probably going to get a divorce for this, but like, you know how much I love my sunrise.
Yeah, I know. I had to ask that. It was like the first one I wrote. Okay. The last one, which is my favorite. What is your number one message for women around the world?
Live the life that you truly deserve.
I love that you say deserve, not desire. That is amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Awesome. So how can people contact you?
So you can go to my Instagram, which is Shelley Rose, spelled S-H-E-L-L-E. You can also go to my website, which is shelleyrose.info.
I'll link it.
I didn't even know. But probably your best point of contact is Instagram. I also have just started a YouTube channel, which has like 10 subscribers. So if you want to like watch my journey, be it motherhood, Crohn's, and you know, just general life struggle, then you can also head to my YouTube.
How fun. I still need to watch you did a Q&A, hey, with your partner.
Yeah. Everyone just asked about our sex life. So it's so kind of weird, but anyway.
So funny. You guys are a crack up on Insta. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on. Very, very much value your time and opinion on all of these topics because I love them so, so much. So thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, I mean, I feel like you and I could just talk for hours. We do talk for hours, but like.
Yeah. I know, we had to make it in a nice little potty nugget for people.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, if you have any questions or resonated with anything that either of us said, please feel free to DM us. But otherwise, thank you for listening and I will talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you as well.
Thank you all so much for listening to my podcast. I am truly grateful for each and every one of you. If you liked today's episode, please share it on your story and leave a 5-star review on the Let's Be Real podcast. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe. If you have any questions for me, topics you'd like to be covered, or anything at all, please do not hesitate to contact me on Insta or email. Also, if you want to get to know me a little bit more, see the show notes below for my info. Otherwise, find me on the gram at Naomi_ZMcKillop. Or at letsbereal.podcast. That is all for today, fam. Have a fantastic day wherever you are in the world. And remember, become a more evolved you.